Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His mercy. This is Carnita Smith with Heart to Heart, Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, I've gotten a little discombobulated tonight because of the technical difficulties that I was experiencing early before we started the program. And I thank God for other ways of doing things and other ways of things getting done according to His will. And this has been pretty regular for the program. And I was on the line with technical support trying to ask them what might be causing this, but thank God for a way of getting it done alternately. And we're back live on Mission from the Heart Radio. So I thank God for other ways with this new way of doing things technically. So I want to just go right into our last series of Here Comes the Judge. And I'm forever grateful for those who are able to listen tonight in spite of our delay in time. But God's timing is perfect. It's always perfect. And if we would just continue to look to Him from which cometh all of our help, then things will move precisely according to His will. So we are going to continue and conclude our series in the book of Judges with Here Comes the Judge. Now, my guest tonight is Pastor Michael Crowe from Barbers Memorial Missionary Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas. And it has been a super exciting journey as we walk through these pages and just reflecting on the Israelites and how they continue to relapse in disobedience to God. So, Pastor Crowe, if you could just introduce yourself once again. I hate for this series to end because it's been such a blessing, and I just thank God that you and I have been able to carry out this mission from the heart.
Well, I tell you, Sister Smith, my heart is just joyful and thankful for the Holy Spirit and you allowing the Holy Spirit in me to participate in this series. And I want to again thank you for letting the Spirit use you for this program, because it has been a blessing to me, and I pray that it's a blessing to others. And I tell you, I never looked at Judges the way the Holy Spirit showed it to us this go-round, but I've enjoyed every minute of it. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will give us a good landing tonight. And I pray that it would benefit somebody in our listening audience. We look at how God dealt with Israel back then and how He deals with us now. So I'm ready. Whenever you get ready, I bring greetings from the Barber Memorial Missionary Baptist Church in the Third Water area of the town. They call it Midtown now. And we just thank God for Heart to Heart, and I want to encourage you to keep up the good work, because it's a good work that you do. You let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Well, let's just get started. Let's go right in to our lesson. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Pastor Crowe, and this is how we operate together.
Well, thank you so much. Now, I was thinking and I was praising God. When we started out this journey, when we started out this walk through Judges, we mentioned that Judges describe the possession of the land. Joshua, during his time, possessed the land. But Caleb and the other tribes, it was their job to possess in the land. And I was looking at some thoughts that we started out with. We said in the process of possessing the land, Israel became possessed by the Canaanite fertility religion, which they mixed with worship of Yahweh. We mentioned that the theme of this book is shows that disobedience to God, but God's faithfulness to them. We also mentioned when we first started, and we've arrived there now, that we would find in future studies that because Israel's tendency to wander away from God, we came to realize that each man was doing what was right in his own sight. We further looked at and talked about Israel's need or desire for a king that would lead them into faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. And we said eventually the Davidic king would eventually meet that need. But the final solution would be Christ. Some of the memorable thoughts that we had in this lesson and some of the golden points that we dealt with throughout this study as we walk were the importance of obedience. We looked at how when God first gave them the land, he gave them instructions, and they did not completely do all that he had asked them to do. Then we dealt with human failure. God shows us in this book by looking at Israel's human failure. It reminds us of our human failure. And we came to the conclusion that the antidote for human failure is divine mercy and deliverance from God. And we saw that as we walked through this book. And then a final note, we looked at the power of prayer, crying out to God. And we looked at how God answered their prayer. And we reiterated that he's still in the prayer answering business. And then as we walked through Judges, we looked at Othniel chapter 3 to about that 11th chapter. We looked at Ehud through the 3rd chapter, 12th to the 12th chapter, 12 through 30th verse. We looked at how God brought Shamgar in the 3rd chapter. We talked about Deborah and Barak in chapter 4, 5 through 31. And we had a wonderful time looking at Gideon, the 5th judge. Gideon, we looked at his encounter with God. We looked at the courage of God in his life. We looked at the wisdom of God in his life. And God did a mighty work through Gideon for the people of Israel. And then we looked at what appeared to be a civil war with the 6th judge after Gideon died. We looked at Abimelech, his son. That's in that 8th chapter, in that 33rd verse, and if you go to about that 10th chapter and that 5th verse, and there was some unusual things that were brought out about Abimelech. We look at Abimelech in that 8th chapter. If we go through the first 6 verses, it recalls the massacre that he did. And we're all familiar with the 70 sons that he killed. We also looked at verses 7 through 21 about the message that Abimelech received. Jotham cursed Abimelech. And in that 22nd to 55th verse, we see where God sends a spirit of ill between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And Abimelech kills 1,000 of the people of Shechem, but he himself ends up getting killed. And God brought us to the 7th judge, Tolar. Tolar, Abimelech ruled for 3 years. Tolar ruled for 23 years. And God continued to use him to save Israel. And we went from the 7th judge to the 8th judge, Jair. Jair was an interesting study because Jair ruled for 22 years. And one of the outstanding parts, when you get a chance to read about Jair, was he was in control of 30 towns, and he gave each one to his sons. And it was noted that his sons wrote on donkeys. Interesting study. And when we went to the 9th judge, Japheth was interesting, and one of the most interesting part of Jephthah was in that 30th and that 31st verse, where he made a vow to God that if God would help him defeat the Amorites and the Philistines, he would give his first child, or he would give the first life person of his house to God. Mm-hmm. And when we read in that 30th chapter, it ended up being his daughter. Very interesting. And one of the points you got to remember, Sister Smith, is that be careful what you ask for and be careful what you vow for. He did not know that his daughter, it would cost her life. And we went on all the way down to the 13th judge, which was Samson. And, oh, we're very much familiar with Samson, the 13th judge. Samson had an unusual experience. And he and Delilah was an interesting couple. And we found out in the end that even though Samson did defeat the Philistine, it also cost him his life in 1060 B.C. Even though he had defeated the Philistines in 1080 B.C., still, God used him to his advantage to help his people. And here we are, Sister Smith, at the close of this book, and I'd like the audience to keep in mind that from the 17th chapter of Judges up to the 21st chapter of Judges, after all God had done for Israel, after all of the sin, after all of the judgment, after all of the restoration, after all of the judges that came through, in the end, And you'll see this if you read that 17th through that. They became worse. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Our God, and we have to keep that in mind, Sister Smith, man. God blessed us in a tremendous way. And look like the more he bless us, the less we appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we look at that 17th through the 21st chapter of Judges, we see, number one, the religious degeneration of Israel and the moral degeneration. Now, that word degeneration comes from degenerate, and that's to decline in physical, mental, and moral qualities, which is what happened to Israel. And what happened was, because of the degeneration, it brought upon Sister Smith a period of confusion and anarchy. I want to challenge your audience tonight, Sister Smith, when they get a chance and they get some reading time. They need to read chapter 17, which deals with Micah's idolatry. Chapter 18 deals with the Dantes adopt Micah's idolatry. They need to read chapter 19, which deals with the Levite concubine. They need to read chapter 20, which deals with Israel's war with the Benjamites. And in chapter 21, they need to read and see how wives were provided for the Benjamites. Now, here's the scripture we want to start out with and that we want to end with, and it is the very last scripture of this book, and I'd like for our audience to take note, because this is where we're going to close out at. We're going to close out at the very end. And it's interesting what that 25th verse say. Look what it say. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. You wonder why they had a period of confusion and anarchy. You wonder why they never, in the end results, they all did what they thought, Sister Smith, was right in their own eyes. Kind of sound like today to myself.
Yeah.
But now this final chapter, let's look at what this book has shown us, Sister Smith, and let's look at what it's shown us. The final chapter of this book gives us a graphic demonstration of the depravity that resulted in Israel from refusal of the people to recognize God as their king.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We do the same thing today. I mean, they refuse. God gave them a chance, but they over and over again, because of the depravity that set in their lives. Now, that word depravity comes from the word depraved, which means corrupt, wicked, or perverted. So here's 3 points, Sister Smith, and I want you to help me with this as we move on. I just got 3 points in the close of this chapter that I think would be a blessing. It was a blessing to me, and I pray it be a blessing to others, because it gave me a better look and a better understanding. And I pray to God that the Holy Spirit will keep me in line and keep all of us in line. First of all, human depravity. The book of Judges demonstrates what happens to the lost people when everyone does whatever they want to do. Sister Smith, I reminded that scripture that say, in the closing day, what's right gonna be wrong, what's wrong gonna be right.
Mm.
And I think we experience that today. It shows this book in this closing chapter that Israel tried to presume upon God's grace. You can't presume on God's grace. You can't just think you can do wrong. And God going, because God has a permissive will and he has a positive will. And he is our father and he does believe in discipline. And many of us miss out on our blessing because of our what? Disobedience. Now here's one, and I want your comment on this, Sister Smith, that we learned from this chapter. Because these were covenant people. If we abandon God's commandments, it causes us to pursue idols out of our own imagination, which will cause us to have what? Moral and spiritual chaos. And this is where we would end up destroying ourselves. But I'm directing to you, Sister Smith. Now, Old Testament, it was the commandments that God gave Moses, the ordinances. But what about today? What about today, Sister Smith? What commandments do we have?
Well,
the
first
keep us in line.
Yeah. I like to refer to Matthew 22:37-39. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Mm. And these are the two commandments that we are to instill in our soul, our mind, our will to choose to love our neighbor. Got to think about it, which turns us to love that neighbor, and then it gives us the feeling that we are to have in order to love them with agape love, unconditional love. And when we love God first, as we're called to do, then it propels us, it moves us to love our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Everybody. And we are to love, and love the kind of love that we are to be moved in our spirit. It's the type of love that covers a multitude of sins. And that I just like to look at that type of love that God gives us through his grace. Because like the Israelites, we have tendencies to relapse, meaning go back to old behavior. Whether it be in thought, word, or deed. But it's something about that love that Jesus said, love God first, and then love your neighbor.
All right.
As you said.
And you know, when we talk about human depravity, this is not God's first time dealing with human depravity. We could go back to Genesis 6, verses 5 and 7. That fifth verse say, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That seventh verse said, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created. So my prayer tonight, Sister Smith, before we get to our second point, the grace of God, my prayer tonight is that we keep God's commandment, the new commandment. My prayer tonight is that we don't abandon and that we are thankful for the things that God has done for us. My prayer tonight that if we stray too far away from our spiritual upbringing, our spiritual growth, we'll find ourselves in the same situation that Israel found themselves. And I challenge anyone, when we look at these closing days of grace we're living in, man, look here, I know Christ's coming back because things just getting too terrible. But let me rush to my second point, Sister Smith, because I wanna conversate with you on that. First of all, we said what? Human depravity. The second point this book showed us was the grace of God. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. The grace of God. And even though in chapter 6, 5 through 5 and 7, God saw the depravity of man and was ready to destroy man, Genesis 6 and 8 said, but he found what? Grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, the book of Judges offer a profound commentary on the grace of God. When we look at how many times God sent judges and how many times God forgave them, the writer here gives us a profound commentary on what? The grace of God. And it left Israel, it gave Israel a chance in spite of her low-down ways. Without the grace of God, we would destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's something to shout about now, Sister Smith.
Amen.
That's a mouthful of grace of God. I wonder, do people realize how blessed we are to experience the grace of God? Grace of God. Do you think people realize that today, Sister Smith, that we're living, breathing, walking not by our mind, not by our thought, but by the grace of God? That's
well, I
just
believe
something that
to think about. Yeah, I believe that we have tendencies, or we have shown that although the grace of God is on us, the just and the unjust, we take that for granted. And it's not until we get in a time of turmoil is when we want to call on the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about today's time. Now, we see, like you said, we see it prevalent in the book of Judges,
mm-hmm.
and how God's grace is just the light that runs from chapter to chapter. But in today's time, His grace is still here, but we take it for granted. And the reason why I say this, Pastor Crow, is because it's only by His grace that we can take our next breath.
That's right. That's right. When we talk about the grace of God, if I had to pull some scriptures, I'd take you to Psalms 84 and 11. It says that the grace of God, number one, is freely given. Thank God we don't have to pray for it, Sister Smith. Man, if we had to go to Wall Street to get some grace, a whole bunch of folks would be without grace. But the grace of God is what? Freely given. 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. Paul says the grace of God empowers men for service. Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 6 say, the grace of God is promised to the humble. 1 1 Peter 4:10 say, for the grace of God is not given for selfish use.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my favorite. Here's my favorite, Sister Smith. And I want you to comment on this. Salvation is by grace. We saved today because of the grace of God. Not what we did, not what we know, not how tall we are, not how short we are, but by the what? Grace of God. Titus 2:11 say, for the grace of God bringeth salvation to what? All. I wonder, do we know how blessed we are, Sister Smith?
Oh, I like to. I like what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And that's what that goes back to what I'm saying. We somehow call on the mercy of God, or the looking for the grace of God when we're in a time of need. But when everything is hunky-dory, everything is going fine, somehow or another we just don't seem to come to the throne of grace that we may find or obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, because the time is coming.
Yeah.
And that just really delights my soul to know that we can come to him with reverence, obtaining mercy.
I tell you, we don't deserve it.
Mm-mm.
It's not something that we earn. And the old preacher used to say, grace came walking on 2 feet. I'm talking about when we needed grace, grace thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and he took on the form of a servant, and grace what? Condescended through 42 generations. He came for you and for me, and somebody out there ought to give him a praise, or somebody ought to say hallelujah, because grace came walking on 2 feet.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Well, let me hurry on. We dealt with the depravity of man. This book showed us the grace of God, a profound look. And then number three, this book shows us the need for God's leadership. When we look at Israel and saw the period of anarchy and confusion, when we look at Israel and saw the period of civil war, when we look at Israel and saw the continued pattern of sin and judgment, it lets us know that they needed God's leadership. Now, many of them thought they, while it is possible that they needed a king in Israel, and they kept saying that throughout this book. You familiar with that, Sister Smith? They kept several chapters, and if you have them, you can read them. They kept saying what? They needed a king. They needed a king. Do you have those scriptures ready?
Yes. It's Judges 17:6.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads this way. And it is interesting how they kept thinking in their natural mind that they needed a king. Judges 17:6 reads this way. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And you read that in chapter 21, the very last verse in that last chapter says the same thing. It says, and this is chapter 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And it's also mentioned in chapter 18, verse 1. And it reads this way. Judges 18, verse 1. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribes of the Danites were seeking an inheritance. And it goes on to read, but we can move forward to chapter 19, verse 1, and it says the same thing. And it reads, and it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel. And they just continued to look for a king. And I'd like to, and as me and you talked about this, the book of Judges and the Israelites, they looked for a human figure to be king. And they did not look toward the King of Kings,
right.
Yahweh God. And just as you mentioned in the beginning, they refused to recognize God as their king. They refused. And this is what continued to run prevalent through their behavior.
You know,
it goes along to with what we're how we're living today, how the world lives today.
You know, in thinking that they needed a king, in essence, what they were really saying that they were appealing for a monarchy. But what they really needed was to return to God, as you stated, as their king. Now, in contrast, and we want to bring this point out today when we talk about leadership, we need leadership, and we have been provided with the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about us today, Sister Smith. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit to what lead us and guide us, we'll find ourselves in the same degenerate situation, in the same confusion and anarchy situation, the same type civil war going on in our hearts without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We have a king, and his name King Jesus.
Amen.
We've been taught that he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he came, died on the cross for our sins, according to the word of God. And when he went back to heaven, he reminded us to wait on the promise of the Father. And that was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now, I like the way John puts it. John 16, chapter 13, verse. The Holy Spirit guides us into what? All truth. Acts 10 and 19, the Holy Spirit controls the movement of believers. Romans 8 and 14, for us say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. The book of Judges showed us that Israel abandoned the God as covenant people and followed the fraternity God of the land. Now, what I liked about this also, Sister Smith, the writer, by exposing the problem, he sought to wake up his own generation, and that's our appeal tonight, to wake our generation, this 21st century, to make them knowledgeable of the human depravity, to make them knowledgeable of the grace of God, to make them knowledgeable that we need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is an appeal to, he appealed to covenant people to abandon all forms of paganism and return to God. Now, when we look up that word paganism, it comes from the word pagan, and according to the dictionary, pagan is a person that is not Jew, Christian, or Muslim. Paganism is a spirit or attitude in religious and moral questions. And the point being, when God's people forget his saving acts, they go after other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And we're guilty of that. We forgot about how God brought us when we didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have forgotten about how he healed our body. Some of us have forgotten about how he lifted up our hung down heads. Some of us have forgotten about how he opened up prison doors in our lives. Some of us have forgotten about how we were held captive and he came and set us free. Some of us forgot how he brought us out of our Egypt, how he brought us across our Red Sea. I just know somebody out there know where I'm coming mm-hmm. from, Sister Smith. And when we forget that, we go to what? Other small G-O-D gods. Sometimes we be our own God. We get a little sense. We get some alphabets behind our name. We get a little, we get 15 cents over a dollar. We get a house, we get a car, and next thing you know, our attention shifts off from the blesser to the blessing. And we prefer the blessing rather than the blesser.
Mm-hmm.
So judges illustrate, as I come to a close, Sister Smith, judges illustrates to us the link between spiritual commitment and ethical conduct. Now, it's the fine word on this chapter, the fine word on this chapter that I think is thought-provoking and we ought to always keep in mind. This book shows us, Judges demonstrates the eternal truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that eternal truth is, Sister Smith?
Mm-hmm.
The eternal truth is the Lord will build his kingdom in spite of our sin and rebellion. In
yeah.
other words, God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And even though Israel fell in the first work of grace, his grace sent the second work of grace. And, I'm going to close out this series with the gospel. I think we started with the gospel. So, because the King of Kings did come. All other kings had some shortcomings. You go back to the kings we discussed. All of them, they did all right, but they had some shortcomings. But God's will was going to be done because the King of Kings came. I'm talking about Mary's baby. I'm talking about the bishop of our soul. I'm talking about the captain of our salvation. I'm talking about Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. I'm talking about the rose of Sharon. I'm talking about the bright and morning star. I'm talking about bread for the hungry, living water for the thirsty. He came, and he never failed. And all our appeal to you today is, as we look at how God dealt with Israel, when we look at the depravity of man, and we look at the grace of God, I hope it reminds us that we need the leadership, I'm talking about right now today,
mm-hmm.
of the Holy Spirit to make us be appreciative of what God has done for us. And we ought to thank him for sending us our King, call him King Jesus. Thank you, Sister Smith, for allowing this opportunity, and I pray that the Holy Spirit taught the lesson, and pray that someone got something out of the lesson. I pray that it will inspire some of our listeners to read this chapter, read this book, and I hope the Holy Spirit will share with them as he shared with us. And thank you once again for this opportunity. It's always a pleasure to walk through the Word, which is nothing like a good walk through the Word. And I want to thank you.
Well, I tell you, it is refreshing, is what I like to think of it as, walking hand in hand with brothers and sisters in Christ concerning the Word of God, because it is for us to be refreshed, and that's just the Lord we serve. He is a cool drink of water. He's a living water. And I tell you, it has been a beautiful time walking through the pages of the book of Judges, and it made me reflect on my own personal life as I go through some circumstances, but trusting God because of his grace, you know, it encourages me to know that he will never leave me. He will never leave us nor forsake us, as long as we keep our hands in his hands, because nothing can snatch us out of his hand. And it is such a refreshing to know that he is with us. He is with us. He goes before us, and he is right there with us in every dark place of our life, in every shortcoming of our life, and even in the joyful moments and the laughter of our life, he's right there. And this has been a wonderful lesson, Pastor Crow. I really appreciate you spending time with Mission from the Heart, and allowing the Holy Spirit to use you and teach us about the Israelites through Judges, and how disobedience always brings judgment, and how this series lets us know that here comes the judge, the just judge, and he is coming back. And the Israelites presented, you know, a perfect example of what we are not to do. And instead of learning from experience that God will always punish rebellion against him, you know, they continue to disobey and, of course, suffer God's displeasure, you know, his discipline. And if we continue to disobey, then we invite discipline from God in our lives, you know, and we have to suffer. But Hebrews 12 and 6 reminds me, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. And that's a beautiful Father, God the Father. He loves us enough to keep us on that straight and narrow road. His faithfulness is faithful, even when we are faithless. He remains faithful, according to 2 Timothy 2:13. He remains faithful. So, yes, this has been a wonderful journey. And in spite of our little technical problems earlier in the program, God has an amazing way to bring all of us together in his perfect will, his perfect will. And he keeps us strong. He knows the beginning. He knows the end of every one of our journeys as we draw into him and seek his face and cleave to his word, every word in the Bible, that our walk with him would not be in darkness, for he is light. He brings light. He exposes dark, and he exposes it to where it just goes away, because he is the light. of the world. And I encourage you to draw into him, read the book of Judges, and allow it to show you what may be in your life that will draw you back to God, that you would return to God, as Pastor Crow showed us, that we, our need for God as our king is necessary. It's not an option. It is necessary for God to be the head of our life and that he be first place in our heart. And this is our call for those who listen to this program, for those who tell others about this radio program. This is our mission from the heart, is that we extend the love of Jesus Christ to those who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. So, Pastor Crow, to finalize our last series, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer of salvation for those who may not know him and struggle coming out of darkness.
And I hope we get a chance to go over it again, Sister Smith. Go over some, walk through some scriptures again. I know there are so many people that's able to just walk with you through the scriptures, but I want you to know I enjoyed it, and I want to thank you for inviting. I look forward. My parents taught us not to wear out your welcome if you want to be called back. So I hope I didn't wear my welcome out, because I certainly look forward to coming back joining you. But there might be somebody in our listening audience that do not know the judge of our life. There might be someone in the audience, through listening to the Holy Spirit, just realize that they need the leadership of the Holy Spirit in their lives. There might be somebody that recognize and realize that they are living in a degenerated state. You don't like the situation you're in. You are in prison. Even though you're free, you're held captive, even though there's no cuffs on you. Somebody, we pray, I hope, realize that the grace of God is able to pick you up wherever you are. You don't know the King of Kings. You don't know the Lord of Lords. This is your opportunity. You can repent. You can admit that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And right now, in the name of Jesus, you won't accept him. And all you have to do is ask him for forgiveness. Now you can fool me, but you can't fool God. You can get down on your knees, or wherever you are, and say, Lord, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch undone. But through the preaching of the gospel, through the teaching of the gospel, I've come to know who you are. And I want you. I want to cry out to you that you would come and save my life in the name of Jesus. And as we pray that once you've prayed that prayer, once you've asked him sincerely, once you've given your hand to the preacher, your heart to God, once you've been baptized in the physical water and the spiritual, you will be employed for service. And we just want to say thank you. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that your will be done in our lives. Thank you now. Bless your holy name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, this brings us to the close of another wonderful series with Pastor Michael Crow and myself concerning the book of Judges. Here comes the judge. And I just pray that you delight yourself in this series and go back and revisit the prior series of this and just enjoy the richness of the teaching of this series and share it with someone that they would be blessed by it as well. And at least and let us know. On the website, you can email us and let us know how it has blessed you, or if you want a prayer request, just email us and let us know. And it's right there on the website, blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart. And that's heart, the number two, heart, M-F-T-H, which stands for Mission from the Heart. And you can just type that in your browser or Google that, and it would pop you right into our website. And just let us know what your thoughts were and any prayer requests. So we just invite you. We are on Facebook, and you can follow us on Facebook as well. And just let us know, and we would be so forever grateful. Again, this is the end of our program, and I'm so thankful, and I just want to let you know that the grass withered, the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God stands forever. Thank you for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio, and remain in God's will. Good night.
Good night.